This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon. And what that means is that we have our doctor in the house, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me.
Good afternoon, Lynn.
Good afternoon. We have not seen each other in a little while.
Absolutely. I'm missing you terribly.
Ah, liar. Today.
I'm glad you didn't say that. You say that to all girls, right?
Today we are discussing testosterone.
Absolutely.
Because it is, I mean, we all know that it's the male sex hormone, but it's also been, I think, villainized in a lot of health-related issues. We've been told constantly that
it's a bad guy.
Yeah, it's a bad guy. You know, it does a lot of things that we don't want in the body. And a recent piece of research has revealed that testosterone could actually prevent heart disease as well as deaths related to diabetes.
Absolutely. So actually, this has been a kind of ongoing thing for a long, long time. So testosterone, is this a good guy? Is this a bad guy? I think that we can get Klang Valley to join the conversation as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not just related to the boys, even
Absolutely.
Though testosterone is often thought of as, you know,
as
primarily.
That's right.
Exactly. But, I mean, we're going to get into some interesting scientific territory here because, of course, later on in the conversation, we're also going to be addressing hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, which is something we've addressed on the show before.
Absolutely. I mean, essentially, one of the reasons why we're discussing this on the World Poetry Day. Is that right today? Wow, how amazing is that, you know? So essentially, this is following an article that was published on the 14th of March, highlighting that testosterone prevent heart and diabetic death. This stemmed from a doctor called Daniel Kelly, who is from University of Sheffield, actually won the Endocrinology Society Presidential Award, no less, for finding that the actual testosterone presented at a conference. And essentially, his work highlighted that testosterone deficiency mice are noted to be more likely to have sugar problems and also more likely to have problems related to heart conditions. So what was carried out was that this research work looking at testosterone deficient mice and then see what they are translated to in real life. So without testosterone, the liver, the muscles are less able to take up sugar, and the fat was diverted under the skin, clogged up with the arteries and the liver, and hence the mice became quite ill. So from this study, it was translated that perhaps in human is the same thing, that when you age up to a point and then all your arteries get clogged up, and then because you don't eat healthily, because the amount of food that you take perhaps don't get metabolized properly, and that will have a similar effect like those mice. And then, you know, is this a natural progress of aging or is it not? And the debate has been going on for years and years and years.
But, you know, so basically, in these mice, what happened was, you know, we removed testosterone and all manner of calamity struck.
Actually, it's not difficult to do that. In this study, you just castrate the mice.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's
but
right.
Before, you know, so that's mice. But when we look at people, what does testosterone even do?
Besides
deepen your voice.
All right. Why is it called sex hormone? It's called sex hormone because essentially it's produced by sex organs, right? Okay. So for boys, you have testosterone. For women, you have estrogens. And these are produced by the actual gonads. You know, for men, it's primarily 90% of your testosterone comes from your testicles and 10% perhaps comes from other organs such as adrenal glands. And then when you have these testosterone circulated around your body and they're bound to a protein, the protein is called sex hormone binding globulin. And it's only a small percentage of it. It's about 1% of this active free testosterone that is causing the havoc. You know, because most people think that sex hormone is because it causes libido, makes you feel sexy. And in fact, that's not just it, because it causes a lot beyond sex, because it causes your hair, your voice, your skin, your musculature, your heart pumping
your
away.
Your bones,
your memory, your blood, you know, and then we all know that athletes who actually has got, higher testosterone has got higher amount of concentration of red blood cell. So in fact, it shouldn't be called sex hormone. It should be called the overall male hormone.
But does it But that doesn't mean that women don't have testosterone, though.
You're absolutely right. And then predominantly the sex hormone in women is estrogen. And men also have estrogen. And then it's this kind of like a contrast of this battle between male and female, yin and yang, that actually result in whether you are more feminine or you are more masculine. And for women, testosterone actually determines your libido. It actually determines a little bit of your naughty side of things as well. So that's what maleness in a woman actually is determined by a woman. But that level is extremely low. It's so low that it will not cause irreversible damage, because, you know, for a woman to receive testosterone, because many, many studies has been done in order to enhance woman's libido by giving woman testosterone, and that is a very serious consequence of growing some beard and also coarsen your voice. That may be irreversible.
So, and not worth it.
Absolutely not worth it for that libido. So hence, we have this battle. So, you know, we're hoping that today we can discuss the pros and cons of testosterone and where is the research taking us at the moment. And another day, we'll talk about HRT and actually see where has that taken us so far in the last 40 years. I think that would be a good comparison of these two.
For both, you know, the ladies from Venus and the men from Mars.
Absolutely.
So with the mice, you know, as you mentioned, castrate them, we're done. But with people, what causes dips and valleys in testosterone levels?
Great questions. All right. Okay. So there are two groups of people we study in anecdotal ways. One groups are the eunuchs. You know, it's like, you know, we don't get too many eunuchs these days. But in the old days, we have eunuchs that we can actually look at their survival. You know, so they will grow, the puberty will induce, and then they will have musculature and things. However, they are more prone to dementia, heart diseases, more likely to actually develop diabetes, and then also more likely to have osteoporosis. They're more likely to have mild anemia. So all these are the sign that the testosterone are not there. However, they are actually maintained, their lives maintained by the supply of testosterone for other sources such as adrenal glands. However, those are the interests, the areas that we're no longer interested in. The areas that we're really interested in is the men who reach the age of 50, when your testosterone level reach certain amount of, let's call it deficiency. And then that's when people start thinking, hang on a minute, I don't want to feel 50. I want to feel 30. So I want my testosterone. So is this source of the youth? Is this a fountain of youth that we found when we actually take it? So this is, you know, schizophrenic relationship with testosterone. 1 minute and all these people will actually build up their muscles, they feel good. We view them very differently and say, hang on a minute, you are doing damage to yourself. Indeed, there are some evidence to suggest that some people are more prone to prostate cancer, for example, and then some of them will actually have irreversible damage to hearts, for example. On the other hand, a study like this come out and highlighting that, hang on a minute, you take testosterone, is producing good effect on your metabolic rate for glucose, and helps you to combat ischemic heart disease. Where do we go? In fact, we don't know. But it's good to actually look at the statistics and also the data.
So why is it so complex? I mean, testosterone, it's not like, you know, we've discovered something new in the body.
Exactly.
You know, it's we've known about it for a long time.
That's why, you know, for this study to be worthy of the presidential medal for the, you know, Endocrine Society, there are some, there should be some merit in it. Like you said, what's a big deal? The big deal is that it's found out that testosterone itself playing a vital role in men's metabolic rate, you know. So what it's trying to say to us is that for certain men reaching age of 50, for example, you need to work doubly hard to burn off your glucose. Otherwise, don't take it, because otherwise it just accumulates in your body and it just accumulates on your bottom. So you actually have big backside and then like, you know, that sort of things. And it accumulates on that beer belly. On the other hand, it also will have detrimental effect on your heart. And then so that is what the message is trying to go out. So to say that, you know, in a natural way, you grow old naturally. In the younger days, you can accommodate taking all those cupcakes and then all the Cokes without doing exercise. But in old days, you cannot afford to do that. You need to cut down on it, or you need to exercise more to burn it off. However, the argument that is coming across is that if we are having deficiency at the age of 50, why don't we replenish it with supplement? And that is when the issue comes in. Because like you said, what's a big deal? You just give that to the men. The big deal is that it's more complex than that, because it is the complexity of the male and female testosterone that determine your metabolic rate. So it's not just a single component of the hormone. The second big deal is that its true effect on cancerous provocations in prostate is really unknown. And the third big deal is that what is the ideal dosage? Because we all want to look young, and how young can we reverse? So there is, you know, if you look at a lot of evolutions of medical specialties, last week we talk about aesthetic. We all want to look younger, feel younger. This week, you know, perhaps this is the beginning of a lot of age reversal medicine. So age reversal medicine is something that is acceptable. You know, for the listeners out there, if truly testosterone is deemed safe and then you are taking it in order to make you look and feel younger, is that acceptable? Is that something you would like to do? I think it's a big question that we all need to answer.
Yeah, so give us a call. I mean, let us know. Would you take testosterone in order to preserve all these elements?
Your vitality and your youth. Is this a fountain of youth you're looking for?
Or, you know, is it just a medical equivalent of buying a big fancy red sports car? You know, is it a medical midlife crisis? Weigh in with us.
That is such a good way of putting it. Is it a medical midlife crisis?
Well, let us know. The number to call is 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. It's our doctor in the house, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist. We are discussing whether testosterone is a villain or a hero. And the question that we've asked you is, if testosterone is indeed this fabled fountain of youth, would you take it? If it was safe, would you take it?
Well, I guess ladies went through the same questions many, many years ago, right? You know, for ladies, you get that more clear-cut menopause. We're going to discuss this hopefully next week or the week after. You get that clear-cut. Are you willing to take HRT? So for men, you get that gradual, you know, decrease. And at what point will you say to yourself, okay, I'm not willing to accept this graceful aging. Am I willing to actually just cheat a little bit?
The number to call to weigh in on this is 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet at BFM Radio. So to play devil's advocate, right, if testosterone is meant to drop as one ages, I mean, it's just a part of aging, then what are the biological benefits of actually having less testosterone in an older male body? I mean, because right now it just sounds bad, but surely if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen for a reason.
It's a natural way of doing it. That's like, you know, that's a fantastic question that I really never thought about it. Why would nature plan for you to reduce your testosterone level? Now, let me think about this in a way that, you know, when your testosterone level is coming down, it's a nature way of saying to you that don't procreate anymore because your gametes probably not as good as it used to be. So when you have children at your age of 50, you know, we all know that that's not natural. We get the kind of Mick Jagger syndrome where you produce children at that age, your autism will come in, or problems with, developmental problems in children will come in. So perhaps that's nature's way of telling us that when the testosterone is lower, slow down a little bit on sexual activities because procreation may not be necessary at this point. So that might be one way of nature telling us, this way. Whenever the actual testosterone level is down a little bit, perhaps it is also, a signal that your metabolic rate is coming down. You need to slow down a little bit on your work and actually wind down on your aggressiveness, calm down, better wisdom, getting older, that sort of things. That's the only thing that I can think of in order to do that. Of course, there are other things that I would like to highlight, is that we know there's association between testosterone and prostate cancer. So perhaps that is also a way to say that when the testosterone is declining, the cells should not multiply so hard and then should not turn cancerous.
And on that note, we have a text message here from a listener who says, Dr. George, using, and I'm not sure I can say this on air, so using a medication as a treatment for BPH has resulted in growth of breast. What is going to be the long-term long-term effect on prostate cancer and breast cancer.
Right, okay. So using the medications for BPH actually is a prostate-specific anti... the BPH is prostate prostatic hyperplasia, and then essentially it's just a prostate gland getting big. And there are two groups of drugs that actually helps you to shrink the prostate. And now it's called 5-alpha reductase inhibitors, and then one of them, generic name actually is finasteride. The other one is called dutasteride. These are the generic names. And in fact, interestingly, these are the drugs that people take to have hair growth. So, you know, because one of the problems about high testosterone is that men with high testosterone, you'll lose your hair. You have male pattern baldness. And then whenever you take medication like this, it will reduce the active component of your testosterone. And when that happens, the female hormone become more dominant, and then the boobs come out. So you get the men boobs, and you have to go look for the bra.
So is there a solution to this then? Or?
Well, the solution to this, actually, this is a condition called gynecomastia. Sadly, whenever it's reversed, let's say, for example, stopping the medication might not return the chest back to the formal situation in the normal men. So the gynecomastia actually will require to have another medications in order to help you. In fact, the interesting fact about gynecomastia is that too much testosterone sometimes can actually cause gynecomastia, and not enough testosterone, such as the texter's message, to actually say that whenever it's deficient, it also can result in gynecomastia. So men is actually a lot more complex than you think.
I don't know about that.
You disagree? Why not?
I don't know about that. No, but
you think we're very simple?
Yes.
So it's just like testosterone, it gets going. No testosterone, it's not going.
Well, you know, I say that.
That's so unfairly.
I say that, but I do want to talk about this because I was reading research that indicated that men with slightly elevated levels of testosterone reported, you know, all these benefits that we are discussing, mm-hmm. All these wonderful aesthetic and health benefits.
Absolutely.
While those with really high levels of testosterone experience things like more injuries, they consume more alcohol, they're more likely to smoke. Basically, they're more prone to, for lack of a better word, bad behavior. So I don't understand how much of a difference in testosterone is required to see this difference, because, I mean, it's really huge, right? I mean, on one level, you have these perfectly healthy gentlemen. And then on another level, you have violent alcoholics.
So in your view, there are only three levels that men will have. You know, level one is that you're testosterone deficient. So you're a bit, you're sagging a little bit. You put on weight. Your backside becomes bigger. And then you grow you become diabetic. For the ones who are optimal, level two are the one who looks good. They have good skin. And then they glow very well. And the one who actually have a bit too much actually start behaving badly, smoke more, and actually pull more injury in themselves. You really think men are that simple, do you?
Well, okay, I don't want it on record.
On record, okay. So it's completely off the record. What are you thinking?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think it's that simple for that reason, because I think, the effects of hormones on our health and our behavior are something that, you know, are widely studied. We've talked about it extensively on this program. And for that reason, I'm interested in why seemingly small changes can result in such huge discrepancies.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, it's a great, great discussion, because on one hand, it's a spectrum, you know, because on one hand, the testosterone level ranging from 9 to 30, actually, when it's declining up to about 19 about 11, the level of 11, men begin to have problems such as low libido. You know, they will probably feel tired, slightly forgetful. And then when it's below 9, according to a lot of endocrinological society, then you will begin to get problems with osteoporosis, heart problems, and diabetic glucose intolerance. So you're right, there's a spectrum. We also have to remember that what you start off with, because you have men like me who probably are a lot more overweight than other men. So, you know, the lack
of testosterone. But you're working on that.
I'm working on that, absolutely counting the calorie, I can assure you that. And the problem is that when I indulge myself all my life, and then when I actually face the inevitable decline in testosterone, it will take me harder to to recover that. So you're right. It's a spectrum. And then also is very, very much varied between individual, how they respond to different level of testosterone.
So what causes that loss then, aside from aging? Because I was reading also that some people are now finding an earlier in life drop, which is quite scary, right?
It is,
so it's
indeed.
No longer 50.
That's right. Okay. So the aging is, according to, we had somebody who came into the show to talk about, like, you know, the Malaysia, the actual pension, pensioners' age is actually about 55 or something like that. So the definitions of care of elderly, it was a physician's care, elderly was about 55, you know, by definition. Of course, a lot of us will dispute that. However, when it comes to testosterone, because of our indulgence in high meat intake, low exercise, and also high sugar intake, and prevalence of glucose intolerance, and that age is slowly pushing down. So you have that chronological age, you also have that endocrinological age, I would assume. So your testosterone level indeed, may come down quite substantially at young age. So testosterone deficiency syndrome, the whole male menopause may actually start a lot younger than you anticipated.
And do you find that people are noticing this on their own? Because I think if I were a man and I started feeling a bit forgetful or a bit tired, I might not think, okay, I need to go check this
first
out.
The first thing you would imagine is that you're probably a bit overexhausted.
Yeah, I should just get more sleep, maybe exercise a bit more, you know, all these different things. But I certainly would not be thinking, my God, my testosterone is failing me.
It's true. And it's like, you know, majority of men who go and see their doctor and actually say, look, I've been a bit more forgetful. I put on weight, and my glucose is all over the place, and my blood pressure is up, and then also, I am a bit more forgetful. What's going on, doc? And then the first thing the doctor will do, examine the patient, actually just do a screening test, blood test, and will say everything seems normal. However, with papers like this and awareness like this, then there is always that tendency to check the testosterone. So you check the testosterone.
Which is via the blood as well?
Correct. Okay. We have some problems there. Okay, we have some problems because the level of testosterone the most people check is the total testosterone. The total testosterone is quite varied between different labs because the assays that's taken is quite varied. That's problem number one. The total testosterone, like I mentioned to you, actually is bound to the protein. So the actual active component of testosterone, which is the free testosterone, is difficult to actually measure. So that is that 1%. That doesn't necessarily correlate to total testosterone, which is the second problem. The third problem that we have is that for men, the actual level fluctuates so tremendously. So a man in the morning will have a testosterone level which is sky high, and in the afternoon is a physiological state to see that testosterone declining. So we don't really know all these ways. Where do we stand? So whenever a doctor checking your testosterone, we can only give you some idea about what's going on. So at the moment, there are medical tools, questionnaires to find out. It's called Adams questionnaires, essentially looking at your androgen-dependent kind of characteristics, like, for example, how well you sleep, how much you remember, how much weight you put on, what's your heart, blood pressure, and then that sort of things. And then with the score, it will tell you the probability of you suffering from this condition. And a low testosterone is defined as late onset hypogonadism because it's late onset, because it's not like a eunuch that happens in early age. And hypogonadism just means that the actual gonad is not functioning properly and it's actually below par. The problem we face now is that once we actually give patients this, they feel good. And how long do we continue this for is another issue that cannot be resolved with current scientific data.
And at this point, is testosterone given only for medical conditions, or are people coming in saying, you know, I'm putting on weight, I'm losing my hair, and I would like...
Losing your hair, giving more testosterone, you lose more.
Well, that's true. Okay. But people
will just say, okay, I do get patients who say, look, my testosterone level is good, is normal. However, I still think that I am deficient. I want to have testosterone.
I want a higher libido.
Yeah. And when that actually gets into a non-medical entity, because that has no dissimilarity to someone who goes to the gym and say, I want to look like Mr. Universe 2015.
But I don't care how healthy I am.
Exactly. And then I want to do that. And then so I don't think that is correct, because, you know, if your level is good and then you simply feel tired and then you just want to look better, I really think that is not a way to do it, because the scientific data has no support to suggest that whether that is safe or unsafe.
But is that something that you would ask of your doctors? We want to hear from you. You know, are you going to ask your doctors
whether you would like to have that fountain of youth?
Yeah, give me some testosterone.
Yeah, is age reversal, because one of the part of the strategies for age reversing, you know, medicine, apart from growth hormones, apart from, you know, micronutrients and that sort of things, which, you know, I don't quite understand, is actually testosterone replacement. So who is willing to actually say, I don't really want to grow old gracefully, and then, you know, I want a little bit of oomph, and then I think the testosterone is in my answer.
If you would like testosterone, if you'd like a little boost, or if you think that this just really isn't the way and let's just age, that number to call is 0377109000. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet at BFM Radio. Here, a question via text. I think testosterone is a hero because I know someone close who has Klinefelter's syndrome who uses testosterone. I don't know why, though. Can you please explain?
Okay, right. Klinefelter's actually is a chromosomal disorder. It's a congenital condition that actually prevent your testosterone from releasing. So as a result of that, it is not by definition of an aging process. You're born with deficiency in testosterone. So the testosterone is a medical requirement so that you actually grow properly. You have no problem with gynecomastia. Your musculature is actually benefited. So testosterone is definitely a hero under those circumstances. However, for somebody who actually is 60 years old, perhaps having a little bit of midlife crisis, apart from buying your Porsche and Harley Davidson, a little bit of medical midlife crisis, is that a hero or a villain? I want to ask you, Lynn, what's your view, hero or villain? From this paper, it says he's a hero, right?
Well, so that's exactly it, though. But we started off, I mean, if we look at the basis point of this paper, it's arguing that it's good for people who might have risk of heart disease, who might have risk of dying of diabetes. And in those cases, of course, a hero. But on the other hand, if you just want to regain your six-pack, you know, if you want to lose a bit of weight, you want to feel a bit more like a man, then I don't necessarily think it's
okay, right.
For the best.
No, just hold that thought, right? You know, so we got two arguments here. On one group, you get that man for vanity, no. For the man who perhaps put on weight and then had a bit of a cardiac condition, testosterone is a bit low. In the implication of this paper, it's because the mice who are depleted of testosterone, the testosterone will help you to reverse your diabetes and will reverse your heart conditions. And actually, there are some paper even to say it will increase the longevity of your life. So is that acceptable? Is that a hero?
Do we need more men living longer?
Oh, indeed. Come on, that is so unfair. We have women who live 5 years more than every man in every country known to mankind. Well, mankind is so unkind to men, and you are asking me?
Mankind is so unkind.
It is so true. It is so true. Come on, name me a country that a man will outlive a woman.
I think let's talk about countries that haven't been damaged by the actions of men, and then we're talking. You know, because I don't necessarily agree that we need men living longer, doing stuff, faffing about.
We need at least equalizations of men and women's life expectancy. You disagree.
I don't.
You think this is a nature's way of actually telling us that, you know, for men, you know, the testosterone deficiency up to a point so that we will have less life expectancy?
No, I think it's just like, you know, when you're 60, it's unlikely for a woman to get pregnant. It's just a normal part of life. You know, if we fail to acknowledge our own life cycles, then what's the point?
You know, well, the point is this study. Well, so that's why we're arguing to see whether this is actually a hero or a villain.
Well, okay. On that note, I mean, before we get carried away with,
you know, mankind is kind to men or not.
Yes, exactly. I do want to just address that one point about weight gain.
Okay.
Is it accurate to say that weight gain and testosterone are kind of locked in a vicious
cycle? Absolutely. Well, in fact, you just if you think of the testosterone at like a battery, you know, it is just the powerhouse that will process whatever you have. You know, it gives you that energy, it burns off the fat, burns off the sugar, burns off everything. everything. When that battery is a bit flagging, and then all the fat will start accumulating, all the glucose will start accumulating, the diabetes will kick in, the vessels will get hardened, and the heart will actually start compromising. And that is the situation we're seeing.
So in other words, you gain weight because of lowered levels of testosterone.
It's a chicken and egg situation. In my opinion, I think that it's years and years of indulgence, and then you actually put on weight,
and then you put on weight.
You hit 50. And then suddenly the amount of testosterone that is sustaining all that metabolic rate is now failing. And if you continue with that lifestyle, then you get into that vicious cycle that is spiraling out of control. And hence, this study is showing that if you break that cycle by giving you testosterone, you can reverse all that. But my argument is, how long do we carry on for?
Yeah, exactly. Do we need more men living longer?
No. We do need more men living longer. Is that we need to have a finite time.
Sure.
We need to equalize our life expectancy.
Okay. If you agree with Dr. George, give us a call. That number is 0377109000. If you'd like to weigh in on whether testosterone is a villain or a hero, you can also send us text messages at 0162019000 or tweet at BFM Radio. But right now, here's the market update. Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me today is Dr. George Lee, our doctor in the house, consultant urologist, male hero. today we are discussing testosterone and
Mr.
whether
T.
Yes, and whether it is a villain or a hero, because new research has emerged. It's been much vilified in the past, and new research is now suggesting that it could actually help with heart disease as well as deaths related to diabetes. And so we've kind of been establishing a lot of ground, that essentially it's good when it's medically needed.
Yes.
But there might now be potential for it to be a fountain of youth of sorts. And the question we're asking you is, would you take testosterone if you felt like you just needed a bit of a boost?
All right. Oh, actually, in fact, even in the grey areas, in the grey zones, that if you're struggling a little bit with your weight and then your diabetes is kicking in, your glucose is intolerant, your cholesterol is all over the place, if you think, and this paper is showing that testosterone can help you to reverse all that, would you actually use it?
We do have a question here. I am 53 with slightly low testosterone. I am on testosterone gel. Firstly, I have two questions from this. Firstly, what that is. But also, are there types of food that I can eat to elevate my testosterone levels?
Okay, right. Okay, great questions. And essentially, there are lots and lots of modality of supplementing your testosterone. It could be gel, there are sprays, and then there are tablets that you can take. And all these have their benefits and also their disadvantages. And then so you really need to have your doctors looking at the levels that you have. The gel probably will absorb it a lot slower, so you don't get that surge. So
is it a topical?
Where would you be applying it? If you look at the older instruction, they actually say apply it in your genitalia. But in reality, actually applying it on your chest, on your shoulders, that actually will have good absorption. Just remember, do not touch any female partners after you apply it. Wash your hands and actually put the clothes on for about 4 hours later before the actual absorption. So there are some issues associated with aromatase conversions of the testosterone gels via the skin. And in fact, we're trying to avoid the oral intake of the testosterone, because the problem about oral intake is that fluctuating levels.
So his actual question was also about what types of food he can be consuming in order to elevate testosterone levels. Yeah. I've read something about saw palmetto.
Saw palmetto is primarily for the actual prostate. So I don't think there are many studies that actually look at its correlations with testosterone. We know food that is high meat intake, animal fats specifically, and non-organic. Because if you actually look at non-organic vegetables with pesticides and things like that, a lot of the actual configurations of these components actually may be related to female hormone and may not be too good for your male, for your testosterone. So organic fruit and vegetables, fantastic. Meat and fatty food, not very good.
Okay, so in other words, eating healthily and reasonably should do it.
Absolutely.
All right. We have Kenneth on the line. Good afternoon, Kenneth.
Good afternoon, Kenneth.
Hi, guys. How are you feeling? Good?
Good. How are you?
Okay, not too bad.
And your question or your opinion?
Yeah, it's actually not a question. It's more like a discussion. Very quick one. Okay, on your question, whether it's villain or a hero, it's a very vain question to ask, actually, whether it's targeted to a male or female.
Right.
But my question is, it's a two-fold question. Number one is, if you feel that your testosterone level is insufficient, should you or not go for it?
Yes.
Especially when your young wife is asking for more.
Okay.
All right, that's one question.
Question one.
And the second one is that, based on that situation, if at that point in time you would rather lose some weight, go to the gym, would it be taken as because of your vanity or because of your health?
Good question.
It's a very floating question, don't you think so?
Absolutely. Well, essentially what you're saying, that's a grey area. It's like, you know, Lynn was making it quite defined, black and white. It's like the black side is that, you know, if you are doing for vanity, definitely no. The other side is that if this is for medical reason like Klinefelter, yes. However, whenever you're in the middle ground, it's kind of like you're a bit overweight, you're not really a detrimental health effect until later on, your glucose intolerance, cholesterol is over the place, and when you have been trying, in inverted commas, of exercising and doesn't work, would testosterone application be something that is medically indicated?
Correct.
And is it?
Well, this is what the article is about. It's about this is the future that that might be a treatment in order to reverse diabetes, high cholesterol, and metabolic syndrome.
Well, you know, Kenneth, to return the question to you, I mean, so assuming, you know, putting yourself in those situations, would you take testosterone as a form of therapy?
If it is as a form of therapy, as you say, of course, yes, it is definitely a hero. But coming back to my first question, when you are, okay, I didn't put this question correctly, actually, not restraining anything. If you have a wife who demands more from you, knowing that you are of a certain age...
Of course.
The question here is, you have a heart condition,
right?
You have a heart condition. It's not that you do not want to entertain and maybe increase your testosterone by not necessarily taking drugs, but probably going for exercise, getting more. Yeah, but what if you do? You have a heart condition, so you are now standing in between. Here you go, wanting to satisfy your wife, but at the same time, you are also on a certain level where you might...
You have limitations in your own health capacity.
Yes, so that is the question I asked.
Where do you draw the line? Okay, in my line of work, I face this situation all the time. So, thank you very much for your question. I'm going to answer it, with you off air.
Thanks for your call, Kenneth.
Thank you. Okay. So, he's absolutely right. In a society where we may have, Lynn is going to get a bit upset here that we may older men with younger wife, and then how do you keep up? Is what Kenneth is asking. When you put in very politely, well, so indeed, if there is a heart condition, I assume he's talking about HEART, a heart condition that actually will prevent the patients from actually engaging activity, they really need to seek the professional opinion, because if you can't even walk two flights of stairs, clearly you are onto a lose-lose situation. So many times, or many instances, actually the men are completely capable of doing that. After assessment, we can help them with medications to help them with erection. We can help them to enhance their libido. And I really think that is a way to treat the patient in order to enhance their quality of life. And I really don't see any problem with that, as long as it's safe.
So I want to address something that's just, kind of popped up.
Okay.
So some of the criticism, I think, leveled at medication given for hypertension in particular, given for heart conditions, is that sometimes what happens is that you get people who are on the medication and therefore feel like they can now run wild because they're on medication, so they don't need to eat healthily, they don't need to take care of themselves. And similarly with what you're saying, you mentioned that at the age of 50, either you slow down or you pay the price, or now you could also
carry testosterone to reverse whatever problems. Yeah,
is that a potential problem in your opinion? You know, the idea that people might think, I don't really need to control myself because you know what? There's a silver bullet and it'll be fine.
Absolutely, this is absolutely correct. This is really the whole point of whether it's hero or villains in those two extremes are all well defined. Whenever it's heroes or villains, in order to do that, it is self-induced. Morbidities, for example, so diabetes is clearly might be a bit of family history and also might be a bit of indulgence. Cholesterol, high blood pressure and stressful lifestyle, smoking, alcohol, all these things can have detrimental effect for the rest of your life. However, what this article is highlighting is that potentially you don't even need to go to the gym because the testosterone will do that job for you. So if you label that as treatment, like what Kenneth said, of course, why not? If that was put to me, I would actually say also, of course, why not, if we can prove long-term use of this is completely safe.
And on that note, you know, one thing that was mentioned in the articles also, how closely hormone therapy needs to be monitored.
That's right.
So is that, I mean, what does monitoring mean?
Okay, so that's a great question because, you know, at the end of the day, there are three things that we need to do. Number one is that we need to actually make sure that it is in the right window of therapeutic levels. So it cannot be too high, it cannot be too low. That's number one. Number two is the actual effect will not have any adversity in long term, for example, prostate cancer. So monitoring will come into that. And also other conditions, because excess amount of testosterone will elevate your red blood cell and your red blood cell will make your blood thicker and that may cause a thrombosis. And the third thing is the monitoring of how long do you need to be on it. Because, you know, if this truly is the holy grail, then I may have the answer of my 250 years old wish to live to that long. So, you know, how long am I allowed or how long am I supposed to put my patient on this is the monitoring part.
And is the body meant to be on it for that period of time?
No. Well, you know, like we started the conversations by talking about the actual natural progression of aging will see natural progression of decline. And whenever you reverse everything is in that testosterone capacity, you reverse the process of aging. So is your body able to take that? Is an interesting article. Because if you actually Google, you know, testosterone can make you live longer, you read about a story of a Las Vegas doctor at the age of 70, actually looked like he was about 35 and then, you know, continued to actually live very happily. And his immediate questions to other people is that if I can do this, why not? And it's a very interesting question that I guess in the future we will see more and more research work like this, and then we will probably need to take more active role in answering that question.
Yes, and hopefully some of those questions will relate to women.
We're going to address that next week. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Because there are issues about HRT. Obviously, HRT is a lot more advanced in the research work, and HRT correlations with ovarian cancer, for example, is actually a lot more studied and a lot more detailed in its analysis. So what is interesting is that for women who are on HRT, how do you make that decision to go on it? And how long do you want to go on it for? It's a very good similarity that a lot of men can draw a lot of parallel comparison when they actually start thinking about whether they want to go on it or not.
Okay, so we'll discuss that next week. You know, women don't feel excluded. But to close off the conversation today,
mankind's not very kind to men. I still stand by that point. You're not even going to entertain me
with
that.
I'm not. I really cannot. I think histories involving all the kings of the world are on my side here. Women have it harder historically. So just to close
on that
off,
note.
Just to close off, what would you like to leave us with? You know, so the big question: testosterone, villain or hero? What do you think?
I think neither. I think we don't know enough to know whether testosterone is a hero or villain. I really think that it's that fine balance that we don't understand yet. No, I think it is true that testosterone is a vital hormone, not just use the word sex hormone, to maintain the health of a man and a woman. However, at what level is the decrease medically problematic? We don't really know. So the most important thing is that the research work that needs to go into it to find out, first of all, to standardize what is the level that we take following the monitoring, the close monitoring, and also the long-term effect. I really think this is a very important article. The article highlighted that the testosterone itself is perhaps the solution for a lot of problems such as diabetes and also heart problems. However, exactly how much replacement can induce how much damage or good, it still remains to be seen. So good carb or bad carb, I think at the moment it's absolutely jury still out.
But Dr. George Lee has had some progress into living 250 years. Thank you very much, Dr. George.
Is there a problem with that?
There is no problem whatsoever. I will be delighted to see you, you know, 200 years from now.
Together.
Yes.
You used to interview me.
Yes. I've been speaking to Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, our doctor in the house, examining whether testosterone is a villain or a hero on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.